If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Reilly, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This show is brought to you by DraftKings. Mitch Moss along with Jonathan Von Tobel in for Polly Howard this week. And as always, we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Big show lined up over the next 3 hours. We'll hit in on the NBA, the play-in games now. We have two more remaining. They're both going to be on Friday night. Then the game one starting this weekend. NFL Draft, Major League Baseball, good guests throughout as well. JVT, back end of the week. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling it. Today was the morning that I woke up and I was like, dear God, how do Mitch and Paul do this every single day for like the last like 6 years or whatever it's been?
You know, it could be a little scary once in a while. And when I say that, I mean probably three times a week. I'll be halfway here and I'll think to myself, what happened in the last 15 minutes of my life? Like, how did I get from point A, meaning my house, to where I'm at right now on the interstate out here called the 95.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even remember the last 15 minutes of my drive.
So, like, you know, I'm a millennial, so I always need to be in consuming content, right? Like, that's my generation's jam. It's got to be a podcast. It's got to be music. It's got to be something. I drove in silence today for, like, the first 15 minutes of my drive. When I was halfway down the freeway, I was like, I should probably listen to something.
He's totally out of it. Huh?
And for some reason, the choice was, like, let's just see what the podcast feed has. And I listened to, like, PBS News for, like, 15 minutes on the way in.
Yeah,
there.
PBS and the podcast feed.
Have you heard what's going on over there? It's crazy.
No. No.
That's what this morning's been like. Yeah, it's been a little nutty.
The fact that you actually have that in your podcast feed is a bigger upset than I would say the Heat and Sixers game going over last night.
Got to stay well informed. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. The way it played out. I'm sorry. If you had under in that game and it closed around 208 or 208.5, but for that game to play out, you could see it coming from a mile away in the final couple of minutes. That was 89-88 JBT with 3 minutes left. They combined to score 32 minutes in the final 3 minutes. And I think the breakdown is something like 18 or 19 points in the final 30 seconds of the game or something like that.
It was absolutely insane. One of those, was it right side, wrong results, right? Which is absolutely abysmal. For me, so it goes over by what? The hook, right? The underrated aspect of that thing going over is, of course, I think it was Tony Brothers calling the foul on Nick Batum that led to the technical free throw. I mean, that was, to me, insane. We saw, like, 2 minutes before, Nick Batum, and granted, like, I was on the 76ers, so I enjoyed the call, but Brothers watched Nick Batum shove Tyler Hero over the half-court line to force it over and back, and he ran out to the middle of the floor to call it a turnover and go the other way, and then on that final inbound, he's like, no, hands on the hips, it's a little too much, we gotta call this off-ball foul. That's the thing that was insane to me. And you kind of get it. I mean, the 76ers have been lazy in offensive rebounds all the entire game, and yet another one to get kicked out to Hero for the three that put it over and, of course, allowed the Heat to cover. But that free throw and that foul call is going to go down as, like, one of the most underrated and most ridiculous foul calls from a betting result that we're going to see in these play-ins. It was stupid.
You watch a lot of basketball. you are VSiN's senior NBA betting analyst. And I talked about this when we had that illegal moving screen in the Iowa game against UConn in the women's college basketball tournament. They called a totally fair game in that game, and it was not tight whatsoever. They let him play. Yep. That was one of the reasons why I had a major issue with that call in that moment. The guy could not wait to call the foul on UConn and go the other way. He was looking for it. He was looking for any reason to make sure UConn was not going to have a final possession in that game for a chance to win. And if it was ticky-tack the entire game, okay, then I'm not as mad. And that's, if you're going to call the game one way, it doesn't matter if it's going to be ticky-tack and you're calling everything, then call it that way for the entire time the players are on the court. Or if you're going to let some rough housing go on and it's going to be physical, then call that from the very opening jump to the final gun when it goes off. You have to be consistent across the board.
That's always, for me, that's always the complaint. It's not, like, if it's a foul, it's a foul. But if you're calling it a foul throughout the entirety of the game, then you need to stick by that. And that's the thing that drives you nuts is so many of
these
games.
There's got to be some sort of a flow to the game.
Yes.
That you kind of have a feel for as a player.
And like that's the thing that drives you nuts about these games and the way they're officiated. It's not the calls and the situations. It's that to you, the official, 4 minutes ago, that wasn't a foul.
Exactly right.
But now, right now, in the biggest of moments, oh, it's a foul. Like, that can't happen. I mean, the play in which the 76ers almost get called for a 5 second, right? Because can't get the ball in. Kyle Lowry's shoved in the back at the very least once. I know on the broadcast they said twice. I only saw one, but he was shoved.
He went flying out of bounds.
Yes, went flying out, was shoved at least once, and they're just like, nope, roll on. Like, that's what drives you nuts. Again, as I mentioned, Hero getting shoved over the half-court line. Nope, not a foul. But then right there in that moment, ooh, yeah, no, I can't do that. That's the thing that drives you nuts. So you're like, people's issue should not be foul calls in the moment. The issue should be, if that's been a foul call the entire game, no complaints. But if you're going to let them play all game long, you can't call that foul in that situation.
Yeah, I did not have a single bet on that game, merely an observation on how basketball games are played out, again, from the very start to the end of it. So now the Sixers move on. Maxey did not play well last night. That was a career game from Nicholas Batum. I mean, it looked like he was 24 years old out there playing, you know, at that level for his entire career. He looked phenomenal last
Best
night.
Best French basketball player in the league, right?
Well, easily. Can we vote on that? Can we bet on who it is and who the voters would give it to?
Without a doubt.
Well, so if they get that Batum, which they're not going to, but if they were to get that Batum the entire playoffs, then that team will go a long ways. I was a little concerned about how Maxey played overall last night. Now at DraftKings, they're a $1.15 favorite over the Knicks. Knicks holding home court throughout. We knew the Sixers were going to be favored in this series.
Yep.
Should they be?
I think they should be small favorites, just given where they're at from, like, as we know, power rating wise, right? How good Joel Embiid can be. And you kind of saw him wake up a little bit there in the second half, hitting some pretty big threes for that team to help them eventually win. But I would say, too, like, as part of any postseason run, as you well know, because you've watched a lot of sports, and we all know, you know, sometimes you need that game from that guy, right? Sometimes the stars don't show up, and every once in a while you're going to need over 20 points, you know, from the guy that you acquired at the beginning of the season when you traded away James Harden. Like, that's going to happen every once in a while, but I don't think one game should be a referendum on, like, hey, what do we think of this team as a whole? What's going to be more fascinating is, as we watched yesterday, it took until the second half for Embiid to wake up. You kind of saw, like the outward belly aching of, like, okay, I'm messing with the knee brace. I'm kind of looking at the, you know what I mean? I'm kind of messing around. Are we going to do this whole thing where, hey, I'm actually not healthy, guys, even though I played the last six games. We won all six of them when I played down the stretch. That's going to be the real challenge. But when you look at this from the standpoint of taking on New York, they have OG Anunoby, but I don't think Isaiah Hartenstein's really shutting down Joel Embiid. They are a little bit smaller at the point of attack, especially with Jalen Brunson. They have some defensive options for Brunson to throw at him, right? They have, if DeAnthony Melton's going to be healthy, he's healthy. You can use him, Kyle Lowry defensively. Like, they deserve, from a power rating standpoint, to be slight favorites. But I don't think you're getting anything crazy, like, you know, as we see, right? Minus 125, I think, is fair, given what we know about Philadelphia when they're at the peak of their powers. And the fact that Julius Randle, we know, is not going to play in this series.
We kicked this around briefly 2 days ago on the show. And for those who missed it, I'll bring it up one more time here. Who's the best player in this series? Is it Jalen Brunson or is it Joel Embiid?
I mean, if you factor in health at this point right now, it's Jalen Brunson.
Right, and I would agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, he's unreal.
Brunson's not going to make first-team All-NBA. That's because it's going to be Shea and Luka.
I think he's got a real argument to finish at least fourth in MVP voting. I know a lot of people initially thought fifth, but I think you make the case he's got a better case than at least Giannis Antetokounmpo at this point right now.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I find fascinating about the first round of all the series numbers that are up right now. The Nuggets are laying 310 against the Lakers. Okay, that's the one lopsided going into it anyway. They're a 7-point favorite in game one. I can't remember this ever in the NBA where every other series, Cavaliers are shorter than $2, but they're almost $2. Sixers are $1.15. Suns are $1.30. That's moved up a little bit. Mavericks $1.25. It did not open that high. They took money. Bucks, Pacers now down to a pick'em. Can you remember the NBA where we have this many series in the first round that are essential, maybe a little bit more than a pick'em, but right around pick'em overall?
I mean, right around pick, or you have multiple lower seeded teams favored, right? Like that's like that's the thing.
And the game one numbers are basically the same thing.
Yep,
that makes sense.
Now, like I guess the fairness would be, or the fair point would be, in two of those series, Milwaukee and in LA, you have injury questions. We know that Giannis isn't going to play. We still don't know what's going to go on with Kawhi. Although I will say, did you see the picture of him holding up his Team USA jersey?
Uh-huh.
They actually had it a little low, covered up the right knee. So I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they're covering something up. I'm not freaking out about this at all. No, I would agree with you. And it speaks to, I think, the parity of where we're at, right? How good a lot of these teams are, how on even footing a lot of these teams are. Even if some of these stars play, you're not going to see these massive swings in another direction, especially when it comes to the LA game. And it speaks to, outside of what we expect from Boston, I mean, runs to a conference finals, representatives coming out of the West, like you could see any mix of results coming out of this postseason. I think it's why a lot of us were excited for us to finally get here at this point.
Not going to be surprised by much.
No, right?
No,
outside of Boston not making it, I think, to the NBA Finals by whatever degree, even if it's like seven games, whatever. Outside of that, I wouldn't be surprised by anything.
That and the Lakers take down Denver in like six games.
Yes.
That would be surprising to me. There is no number on the board, by the way, for the Bulls, who were victorious last night. They won. They covered the game one over against the Hawks. Kobe White scored 42 points. He was awesome last night. There's no number on the Bulls Heat because the status of Jimmy Butler is unknown as of right now.
Yeah.
You had an observation on him. You didn't think it looked very good last night.
No, there was multiple possessions where he was just standing in the corner. Like, credit to you gutting it out, but it was very reminiscent. Remember? Do you remember Harden's last season with Brooklyn? Where they were in the postseason, he had torn the hamstring off the bone, and he was just standing along the perimeter doing nothing.
I'm trying to get that out of my memory bank. Yeah, it was so that Ben Simmons, the whole thing, that whole era. No,
it was very reminiscent of that. There was a possession where they go down, he stands in the corner, they miss a shot, they get an offensive rebound, and he's just standing there. He's not moving at all. So even if he tries to gut this thing out, we saw it yesterday. He's not healthy. Whatever happened to that knee? That was debilitating. So, and especially too, as we know, after a couple of days off, might get worse.
Yeah, could. All right, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with JVT, in for Pauly this week. Up next, we will discuss the Jante Porter story. Banned from the NBA for life. I have a prediction on something that will happen. I'm going to guess in about 3 to 5 years that I don't think many people will agree with. That's coming up here on VSiN.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
VSiN.com/newsletter. You can sign up for the daily, written by Bill Adey. We got a lot of great stuff in it today. Some words on Jonte Porter and him getting the lifetime ban in the NBA. Also, of course, some predictions for what's going on in the West. Some links to our playoff betting hub, in which you will find our previews for the series as a whole and more. Check it out now. VSiN.com/newsletter in your inbox every single day, 6 a.m. Eastern.
Thanks to at Halifax Hoops on X. He sent me a screen grab, Faraway Places, Heat favored by 2.5 against the Bulls, total 209.5.
Yeah. I think you're going to make sense. You want to hedge a little bit in terms of Jimmy Butler's availability. Even if he doesn't play, Heat at home in a playoff game probably should be about a 1.5-point favorite, but didn't look good for him. And do you even try to play him through it, to play have him play?
Mm. Yeah. If he's 100%, what would you make the number?
I think he'd probably be about Heat 5, 4.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 4.5 probably. What do you make the number for the Pelicans-Kings if Zion Williamson was healthy?
I would say, I think you got to make it about like 3, 3.5.
Yeah, it's Kings are not favored by 1.5. Now, it's completely flipped here.
Well, because home court is worth more, and these are postseason games. So being at home is really impactful. We saw last year home court in the postseason ratchet up to like 4, 4.5 points.
Yeah.
So, like, it is worth ratcheting this a bit. I had home court in the postseason, in the regular season, about 2.5. So, you factor in a bump at home court, that would give you that kind of swing that you're talking about. But, you know, it should be floating right around that number.
All right, so the news came out yesterday. Jonte Porter, the brother of Michael Porter, who plays a big role for the Denver Nuggets, he has been banned, Jonte has been, banned for life from the NBA for gambling. So the NBA's investigation found out that he disclosed confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes and betting on NBA games. From about January to March, he placed 13 bets in NBA games using different associates' accounts. So they also found that prior to March 20th, that game, he disclosed information about his health to an NBA bettor. Another person connected to Porter placed an $80,000 parlay to win $1.1 million that he would underperform. That's the game where he indicated to the team that he was sick, came out, everything went under, and that same game parlay would have cashed for $1.1 million, but the bet was ultimately frozen, and the sports book, the alarms were going off when that bet was accepted, when it was attempted to be placed, and that's why they were caught.
Okay. So I think there's a lot here. The simple takeaway is, you know, the folks who have inside information that are trying to get these bets down, you got to be a little bit smarter.
You're a VIP at a sports book, which is another story altogether.
Yeah.
And you think it's a good idea to put down an $80,000 same game parlay that would pay out seven figures on a guy who doesn't play in the NBA, mm-hmm. and you think that's legitimately going to not sound an alarm, or you're going to have no problems with that. That's not going to indicate to any human being at that sports book or in the NBA that something fishy might be going on.
It's almost as bad as going up to a counter and saying, I want to put $1 million on like Alabama baseball or something like that because you have inside information.
Telling the sports book, if only you knew what I knew, right. I need $100,000 on this game. It proves to me, JBT, and I know that you found some stories on this yep. as well where the people are just clueless. It proves yet again that there are a lot of dumb people in this world.
100%. It's dumb. We can call it dumb. I think for me, it's more about like you're just not educated on the process or whatever is happening here. For example, the first thing, first and foremost, this is a sign that the system works. This is
Without question.
The bets were caught. They were flagged, frozen. You go through the process. You find out who it's connected to. And within months, you have this guy snuffed out, nothing cashed out, and he's out. He's done. He's out of the league. 100%, we're good. The same thing with Alabama baseball, right? It was flagged. It was caught. Now, that guy really helped. But it was flagged, caught. Boom, you're done. Alabama coach is in trouble. It's like, we know all of this, right? So it's a fact that the system works now. We have this evidence here. The other thing for me is like, Mitch, there's a lot of people who are commenting on this that I don't understand where they're coming from.
Well, they've never covered gambling ever in their lives. They don't get it. They don't understand the process here now that it's finally legalized. They're writing stories. They have strong opinions on this. And they're quite simply clueless.
They are. Well, and it's also just like a matter of fact of like moving away the responsibility of a 24-year-old in a situation like this. So, like, I read a piece on MSNBC about this, right? It crossed my timeline. So, like, all right, let me see what this says. The end of this piece. While the social media mobs will no doubt cheer Porter's being banned, Silver must also be held to account for his league's total embrace of gambling. Jonte Porter fell into a world he wasn't prepared for. But the world he fell into is one of Adam Silver's making. That does a lot of assuming that Jonte Porter had never heard of sports gambling, right? Before the advertising deals go through for the NBA. Sure. And in that small amount of time, then decided to fix the outcome of his props and give the information to other people. How in the world do you make that leap because of the advertising dollars that the NBA is taking in? And by extension, some of their stuff, like I've been part of NBA officiated bet streams. Yeah, they do those things. How in the world are those two things correlated in any way, shape, or form? He's a 24-year-old man who decided to do what he did.
Right. He decided to try to fix a game, fix the outcome of what was going to happen, and capitalize on that by getting down enough money on a same-game parlay that would have cashed out for $1.1 million. He made that decision on his own. What kind of world did he fall into? Was he driving around Colorado one day for this VIP account, and he saw an advertisement for DraftKings or FanDuel, and he said, oh, what is this? You can bet on sports? Right. Oh, here's an idea. No, this is nothing wrong, right? I can do this and not get caught, and I'm not going to have a problem here, right? I can just tell the team I'm sick, and I'll tell my buddies to put in everything on my under. That has to be a possibility, does it not?
Right. It's the fact that people can try to make that correlate. If you don't, I actually think that there's a real conversation. If you don't like the amount of advertising for gambling and the links to problem gambling, and we've seen statistics that say young people are, you know, suffering from that a little bit more in recent years, that's a totally valid conversation. But to sit here and say, well, the NBA does a lot of advertising, you know, for the gambling, and now Jonte Porter, that's not fair. That's ridiculous. How can they not expect their guys to gamble? Because they're adults that have rules, yeah. And they should follow said rules. I don't understand this. You know, like Jimmy Butler, well, we were talking about him, right? He's a spokesperson for Michelob Ultra. If any one of the members of the Miami Heat got a DUI, are we coming out the next day and being like, you know, Jimmy Butler and all these Michelob Ultra commercials, it really tempted these Miami Heat players to do something poor.
They had no idea what beer was before Jimmy Butler was making commercials for Michelob Ultra.
No, not at all. I understand some parts of this conversation, but that the people tying in the advertising to this, you are stretching like crazy to make that connection.
All right. No, he tried to do something he was fully aware was not a good idea. He had associates that he was using to get down with his accounts. He was sharing inside information for them. And he basically said, look, bet all my unders tonight. I'm going to tell the team I'm not feeling well. I got to come out of the game. I'm going to act. And all those videos now that came out from some of those games, oh boy, he is guilty of sin.
Oh, yes.
I mean, with the eye problem, get me out of the game, faking the illness when the three was banked in. He banked in a three from the top of the key, and his look was on his face like, oh, God, I can't believe that went in. Are you kidding
imagine?
Me? So this is a good tweet from Will Brinson. People will blame, as you're talking about, JBT, the widespread proliferation of gambling for Jonte Porter betting on and attempting to influence NBA games. They are wrong. It's quite the opposite. Porter got caught. Is actually a prime example of legalized and regulated sports betting working properly. That's exactly right.
Yes.
This does not get caught if and when Jonte Porter or other players are betting offshore. There's nobody sounding the alarm.
No. And like at some point, you have to have the responsibility here if you're just an adult, you know? To sit there and try to put this on Adam Silver.
You have no moral compass whatsoever.
Right.
Right. I love this because everybody finds a way to blame somebody else.
Yep.
Nobody ever takes accountability, ever. And it drives me absolutely nuts.
I think a lot of it, I will say, I do think a lot of the trying to pin this on Silver and the gambling do come from people who don't like it, who don't like the advertising,
sure. Yeah.
Who don't like, you know, all of those sort of things. And so you're going to try to vilify it in any way possible. And this is, I guess you'll call it the easy way to do it. But it takes like 5 seconds of critical thinking to realize that this is a connection that should not be made.
Right.
Jonte Porter did not wake up the day that the NBA decided to sign a deal with DraftKings and go, what's this? Like, that's not the way this works.
Yes.
And even if that is the case, to act like he was suspended for betting $5 parlays.
Oh, no kidding.
As opposed to fixing the outcome of results is absolutely asinine.
No, he knew what he was doing. He was trying to pull a fast one. He's banned for life. My prediction is this, that people think that it's never going to happen again because of that. And they're going to come down very hard on this guy. My prediction is it will absolutely happen again to a young kid who's not in the NBA right now in the next 3 to 5 years.
Sure.
It will happen again.
I mean, more than likely, it's going to be guys like this, right? He was only making $400K.
Yep.
Which, I mean, for us, doesn't sound like that much, but, you know, in the NBA circles, it isn't.
Here's why it'll happen again. In the NFL, whenever there's a tie, every year this happens. Players come out from either team and they say, I had no idea games can end in a tie. How is that possible?
49ers didn't know the overtime rules in the Super Bowl.
They had no clue. They were lost. Up next, we'll get into the NFL draft. This number was still minus 125 yesterday. What am I missing?
The Betting Splits page is still open, folks. Check it out now. You can get access for free. In fact, look at this. I'm going to pull it up on my phone. I'm not logged in any way, shape, or form. And I can see everything that's going up on the Betting Splits page. So get in there. Check out where the money and bets are moving for every single game up on the website at VSiN.com/splits. You don't even need a pro subscription. Check it out now. All data, courtesy of DraftKings, VSiN.com/splits. Check out the fact that the... How about this? Oh, no, that's from yesterday. It hasn't loaded. All right. Check it out. VSiN.com/splits. I tried to get cute.
Kicking around the Jonte Porter story in the previous segment. Phil chimes in on X. He tells us that he's been in this racket for 45 years. He loves it. But how do we know there aren't dozens of these events with sharper people that don't get fingered by, quote, the process? We don't know that. There very well could be. And you know what? It's probably been going on for 30 years, maybe longer. How long has legalized sports betting been here for? Five?
Yeah.
Six?
Passed but got struck down 6 years ago. Yep.
Mm-hmm. They caught this one. Why? Legalized betting. They tried to do it at a legal sports book.
Yes.
The other stuff that would have happened would have been pre-legalized sports betting. It's not just because, like, all of a sudden legal sports betting is here, and now it's like, oh my God, we got to get a hold of these. We got to get connections for people who play in these games so we can tell them how much money we can make and figure out a way to do it with legal sports books here. Not happening.
It also does speak to, as we talked about, the lack of education on how the system works. I mean, Jonte Porter and whoever he was doing this with clearly don't understand that these things are regulated and watched. They think that it's just like, hey, the Wild West, let's just get in there and bet these things. Nobody's going to know. Who cares? No, these things are flagged. Betting patterns are followed. If anything pops up, it's found out. You know, we still haven't, I don't think they've reached a conclusion yet. Go back to college football. Remember the New Mexico UNLV game?
Yeah.
That thing got flagged. for regular betting patterns. I haven't seen the result of that investigation, but like these things are flagged all
the time.
That
was day of before kickoff, right?
Yeah, it got ballooned up to like 8 from like, what is it, like, was it like 14 to 19 or something like that, maybe even higher? And UNLV came out and covered every number, but like that was irregular, that was weird, and that got flagged, and they were tracking it. We got, of course, what was it, Temple and UAB?
That's another regular one.
Right. Yeah. Like they flag these. They monitor these things. And those are just, hey, sides of college basketball and college football. They monitor the prop markets as well. So trying to do this the way they did it was also very stupid.
Yeah. There is, I mean, the $80,000 same game parlay is something I just can't wrap my head around. That's just completely idiotic. If you're going to do this, I mean, how does that not make people behind the book, even when you're attempting to put that bet in? Right. You don't think people are going to say, wait a second here, this is a little fishy to us.
Right.
And then other people have questioned why Porter props are even on the board, which I don't disagree with. Yeah. But part of me also thinks that if guys get playing time, you could, in theory, put props up on every single player on any basketball team.
Absolutely. Look, you have a big betting menu, right? Like that you're going to offer a lot. That's fine. The question is just, you know, like, again, it's just... that bet amount is just going to get noticed regardless of what it is.
No question.
Like even if it's just like a side on an NBA game, that's going to get noticed. And then you're like, oh, it's on this guy that averages 4 points a game.
Yeah.
And we take like maybe 100 bets on him all year, if that.
I would say that a bet of 5 dimes, maybe 10, on a straight bet on somebody like Jonte Porter to stay under his points prop would be, wait a second here. All of a sudden, we're taking 10 dimes on Jonte Porter under 3.5 points.
Right.
That doesn't feel right. Why is this person even trying to put that bet in?
Right. We'll sneak it through. Nobody will notice.
Yeah, and then to your point, as you just said, they could go back in their catalog and look. We've taken 9 bets on Jonte Porter all year long.
Yeah.
And they were on average for $100. Now, all of a sudden, whatever the numbers might be.
On average might be 5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's probably always like the last leg of like, you know, Johnny whatever just going, all right, I didn't know the leg on this player parlay. Let me see. Jonte Porter, it's only 2.5. Let's get this thing over.
Yeah.
Right?
Like right.
That's probably what the massive action is. The whole story is insane. Obviously deserves to get caught. Deserves this in terms of a lifetime ban. You just can't do that. And I think we just need to be, and this isn't anything, but for this specifically, just be a little bit more educated and nuanced with the way that you're handling these conversations, because there's a lot of people checking in that just don't really know how the industry works.
No, and it tells you again that dumb people are always going to exist.
Hmm?
The guy who was trying to bet the Alabama college baseball game at the book in Cincinnati by telling the counter, if you only knew what I knew, I need $100,000 on this game. Think about the level of stupidity for those words to come out of a human being's mouth, and you think that there's not a problem with that. There was an instance with Toledo football out here many years ago. Robert Walker was working at the Gold Coast, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Robert Walker, very good dude in this industry for a long, long time. And they tried to get down just like super high bets on Toledo football. And he told the people at the counter, he's like, why don't you go across the street to the Palms? They got a better number. Don't care. Doesn't matter. That doesn't mean anything to me. And he's like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'm making a phone call right now. So the Arizona State thing with Headache Smith back in the mid-90s,
yep.
They did that for a couple of games. They were coming up here from ASU, making the drive to Las Vegas, and they were eventually bringing duffel bags into the sports book. And when you're trying to bet $80,000, $100,000 on a game, doesn't matter if it's the best number or not, guys behind the book like Jimmy Vaccaro are going to say, yeah, dude, this is not typical. There's a problem here.
Well, and the last point I think on this too would be, you know, a lot of people, I saw a lot of this thrown around, which is, you know, the NBA gets all this money from sports gambling. The players don't get anything. Of course, they're going to try to get their own. That's just not true. Part of the reason why the salary cap goes up is because, right, you get deals like this that
sure.
is factored into it. The other part that people don't really understand either is, as part of the new CBA that they agreed to, NBA players can hold passive non-controlling interests in sports betting or fantasy companies. Those equity stakes are limited to 1% for companies offering NBA-related bets or contests. Players can't promote NBA-specific betting. They're allowing their players to also get in on this as well. So it's not like this thing where the NBA is just greedy, taking it and saying, you can't do this. Like, no, that's not the thing. NBA players can bet on sports. They just can't bet on NBA sports.
Yeah.
Like NBA games. It's a really simple concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard to kind of get through this whole process from a thinking standpoint. Just don't bet on the NBA games.
I mean, every single year in the NFL, they have something called the Rookie Symposium, where they go over – and the gambling is a big part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
How bad it, you can't bet on the NFL. Specifically, you don't bet on your own team. And I'm guessing that this also takes place like every year in the NBA. For that part of the whole process and that day in class, I guess Jonte Porter was just drifting. His mind was going elsewhere.
Right.
It was like us on the drive-in today. What happened in the last 10 minutes? That's probably him 30 minutes into the gambling
talk. I think what happened was, you know, he had a day off during the regular season, and he had the TV on because he was watching the NBA, and then there was a DraftKings ad. And then, like, you know, like the angels and, you know, the light shone through the windows.
Something
and
snapped
like,
in his brain.
He heard the He's like, this is a great idea.
He had an epiphany at that point.
I should fix the outcome.
Sure.
Of all of these games.
There's no way I get in trouble for this, right?
And the other thing, because we've seen this rash, because a lot of people are saying, they're correlating, oh, well, we're seeing a lot of these, you know, the NFL had a lot of suspensions. We're seeing college football. We're seeing all of this and going, well, I mean, we're seeing all this happen, and we're also getting the influx of gambling ads. Those two things have to be connected, and that's not necessarily the case. And you know, like in the National Football League, right? You know, players can never place a bet, facilitate a bet, either directly or through a third party, any NFL game practice or other event. The other thing is they generally can't bet on sports, especially when it comes to, like, from their facilities.
That's right.
You would cut down on the suspensions if they were to take the NBA tact and go, yeah, you can bet on other sports if you guys want. Just don't bet on ours.
Right.
It's not that hard.
Drive that point home over and over and over again. This is from Tripp on X. He tells us that not all bettors with inside info placing bets at legal books get caught, just like on Wall Street. Not all insider traders get caught. Both regulated markets catch the large majority of insider trades. In an unregulated market, you catch zero. Regulation works.
Yep.
James says, soccer players have grown up knowing they can't bet, but they still do. Hey, this is, like I said, this is always going to happen. Like, just because they have these symposiums and these messages to players in these particular leagues every single year, and I said this in the last segment, it'll probably happen to an NBA player again, someone who's maybe 16 years old right now, 17, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to happen in 3 to 5 years, and when they get caught, it might be less than that. When that player gets caught, and if you were to ask them who Jonte Porter is, they're probably going to say, I don't know who that, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yep.
Like, we have a problem with short-term memory in this country that will probably, and I think the analogy that we said, even veterans in the NFL, I think it was Donovan McNabb one time, they played in a tie in the NFL. You get in a tie? How are you unaware at this point of your life that you cannot play in a tie in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
And yet it happens every single year.
I mean, or it might just be, Mitch, like, somebody's going to watch this and go, oh, I can do it better.
Yeah, what he did was so egregious.
Yep.
We can tinker with this, we can make it better, and we'll be sharper about this, and we're not going to get caught.
Yep. And because regulation pretty much works, we're not saying it's perfect, but works a lot of the time, if you're going to try it like this, it's probably going to get caught.
He's 2 months into it. Mm-hmm. Started betting in January, and this was a game in March.
Yep.
And they thought it was a good idea to put down an 80 game. Even the guy who he's betting with, he doesn't say to himself, we're getting a little greedy here.
Did you like the NBA statement when they were talking about the three bets that he made himself? All three lost.
Oh, yeah. They made
that
point.
Got to burn one time.
All right, I'm next. We're going to get to the NFL draft. Again, this number was still hovering around minus 125 yesterday. Had to grab that. I'll tell you what it was coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Sue. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting odds, boosts, and much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSIN. New customers can bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. It's code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
The NFL draft is a week from today. Got to be honest. At this stage, I feel like I'm going to crush it. However, with a week out every single year, I tell myself I have a lot of hope that I'm going to crush it, and then eight picks in, it's a disaster, and I'm like, what is going on?
It's the fantasy football effect, right? Or fantasy sports in general. Post draft, every time you look at it, and you're like, dude, my team's going to kill it. We're in a fantasy baseball league together. Yeah. when we got done with our draft, I'm like, this thing's awesome. I think I've got like 59.5 points, and I'm like third from last. And the only reason I'm third from last is because the other two teams at the bottom of our league are awful. Same effect.
It's a great analogy. And actually, betting the NFL draft has been successful pretty much every year with the exception of one.
Right.
Because it is all information-based. And I'm going to get to that coming up in a couple of more minutes because you can't be afraid to lay. This is like one of the events where... Look, everybody wants to bet a little to win a lot, right? You want these 10, 15, 30 to 1 shots to come in and be on the receiving end of that, right? The cashing outside of that. But also the NFL draft, you lay $3, yep. $4, $5 for some of these bets. So,
I mean, I lay $3 real quick on the Titans to draft an offensive lineman with their first pick.
Yeah, there you go. You're that convinced that it's going to happen.
Yep.
So, like, it makes a lot of sense at number 7 that's the position that they're going to go after.
Can't wait to see Roma Dunze, a future Tennessee Titan.
Sure. Yeah. With pick number 7 overall. Yeah, here we go. So, you know, I was thinking about it more yesterday, and I actually wish the draft was tonight because I'm reading entirely too many mock drafts at this point because I made, like, 7 more bets yesterday. But one of them, I'm looking around, and I'm going through my counts, and I'm looking for my Chargers bet for their first overall pick to be an offensive lineman. And I'm looking at all my accounts. I'm like, I can't find it. I'm like, I didn't bet this already? What happened? So then I try to find updated numbers, and only, I think, one book in town was offering it yesterday, and it was the Chargers to take an offensive lineman with their first pick at minus 125. And I was startled. I'm like, it's still available? I'm like, I got to bet it right now. So I bet minus 125. At that book, it's now minus 140, which... If I could rebet it, I might have to go dabble into see if they'll take another bet today. I think I'm probably going to. We have to go back and revisit the comments that were made by new head coach Jim Harbaugh a couple of weeks back, right? Because a lot of people that I'm seeing are still mocking a wide receiver to go to the Chargers. And that is if they stay at number 5 or even if they trade back to somewhere in the 11 neighborhood of the first round, they still have the Chargers going wide receiver, which it doesn't make any sense to me. So, again, we'll play this for you from Jim Harbaugh. Now, again, in your mind, think about what Michigan was like over the years with him as the head coach. He was there for almost a decade. What they looked like last year, the year before, as they were getting better, eventually competing for national championships. Is this guy lying? Here's Harbaugh talking about the offensive line.
I mean, if I asked you the question of, like, what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good, you know, what position group is that? Offensive line. They're not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good. Building that, you know, kind of offensive line, that's exciting. You know, can't wait to do that.
So thanks to the Chargers on X for tweeting out that video. Very strong comments from their new head coach. They had an incredible offensive line. He built that up through Michigan over the years. That's why there are so many question marks about J.J. McCarthy, right?
Sure.
We never had to see that guy go out there and throw 47 times and look like Michael Penix because they had a great offensive line and they loved to run the football. Well, Harbaugh is now the coach with the Chargers. He brought in Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator. And the numbers, JVT, don't lie. Wherever Greg Roman has been in previous stops, they love to run the football when he's the OC. So I know that they're without Keenan Allen. There's no more Mike Williams. It appears obvious that they need that position as well. Could also say that it's loaded for both of these, right? Offensive line and wide receiver positions. I think that they go O-line first round, and I bet that yesterday minus 125.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. I think when you talk about, like, it's almost similar to the Dallas Turner thing, right? I brought up the situation where if you look at Raheem Morris and the way he drops back his edges, and Dallas Turner being a guy that has dropped back most in terms of snaps, like, there's a schematic that they're the same thing here, right? It's a guy who likes to play through his offensive line, clearly does. He's talked about it. We've seen it transpire. He had really good offensive lines when he was with the San Francisco 49ers. It was one of their big strengths. So it makes sense. And to your point, if the trade that everybody expects to happen, which is the Chargers, right? A lot of people are circling that five spot for the Vikings to move up. I don't think they will, but let's say that does transpire. I think, to your point, the odds of them drafting an offensive lineman grow if they trade back.
So, yes.
Because you're not going to get your hand on the top three guys, and more than likely assume the other two guys, right? Which is Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers. So why would you jump back and try to draft like a Xavier Worthy or whatever it is in that spot? When you would just go offensive line in one of the deep classes where a lot of people think 10 to 11, maybe even 12 guys could go in this first round.
Mm-hmm. I think Joe Alt, number 5 overall, if they stay put, makes so much sense. And also, don't forget, we had Paul Charchian on yesterday from KFAN Radio in Minneapolis, who has covered the Vikings for a long, long time. And he basically tried to explain like how difficult it's going to be to trade into the top 5 for the Vikings to do that. And as you pointed out, when Charch was on, They did not make that move. They never reached out, according to reports. It was not Minnesota who reached out to Houston about acquiring pick number 23. Mm-hmm. So they could then bundle 23 with 11 and move up into the top 5. Isn't that kind of a key component to the whole overall story?
Yeah, 100%.
Like it was Houston who reached out, according to reports, to Minnesota to make the deal?
At the very least, it's an important detail of the story because the market reacted as if that trade was made with the goal of ultimately moving up.
Yeah.
It's why at one point J.J. McCarthy was a strong odds-on favorite to be drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. We've seen that since shift because we've gotten more information on that. No, that was a team reaching out. It made, as Charch put it yesterday when we talked about it, they checked their draft board and thought, okay, that makes sense in terms of the capital, what we're getting back here. And that's still an opportunity to potentially move back. And to the point, too, like bringing this back up around to the Chargers, Chargers also picked 37th. You know, we always talk about these teams trading back into the first round for quarterbacks. Chargers could easily get back into the back end of the first round with a lot of wide receiver hungry teams and jump in front of them to grab one of these guys before they go.
Very true. So anyway, I thought that was worth it for sure. I also grabbed a little because we had the discussion yesterday about the Cowboys and how they're lacking. They added Royce Freeman this week to the running back room. I mean,
we're all set.
It's very thin back there. There's no more Zeke, long gone, obviously. No more Tony Pollard. You know how Jerry Jones loves flashy, skilled players. So I did find 66-1 on running back with their first pick. I took some of that. Then I realized that there was a better number out there, 75-1. I also grabbed wide receiver 11-1 for the Cowboys because they desperately need offensive line help. They probably need some things on defense as well to really shore up that unit. But the way that Jerry likes to get the flashy side on offense, again, I will remind you that a couple years ago, they did not need CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver. Took him, fell to him overall because he was this great wide receiver prospect. They're like, well, our plans are canceled. We're not going to go defense here. We got to go CeeDee Lamb. That could easily happen again this year. A running back is a stretch. Like, that's a real long bomb. But in a wide receiver class that's loaded, and, oh, by the way, there are two Texas wide receivers in the draft that could be first-round picks. There were reports last year how much Jerry Jones loved Bijan Robinson, but he was never going to fall that far to the Cowboys so they could take him in the first round. And moving up that high for a running back would make much sense. But so I took 11-1 on first pick to be a receiver for Dallas and a little bit on 66-1 to be a running back.
Yeah, and the price is obviously what we're talking about here in terms of using that and betting it because the argument is pretty obvious, and there's also no real knock-out-of-the-park prospect at running back, right, to really reach. You mentioned Texas, right. Jonathan Brooks. PFF has them or has him as their highest-graded running back, so there is that obvious connection, so maybe that's it. But, you know, you're not going out there laying -220 if this is going to happen. You're taking a long-shot bomb that could, and this is the same guy that had to get physically restrained from submitting a Johnny Manziel card to draft him.
That's exactly right.
So yep. I can totally understand the logic.
I finally broke yesterday. Again, I'm reading too many mock drafts. Yeah. The draft has to get here.
What'd you do?
I think we're getting seven receivers in the first round overall.
Okay, thank God. I thought you were going to back down.
Not on the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
No, I took over 6.5 receivers at +175.
Okay.
Number was still lingering around there yesterday here.
I haven't gotten there. I have over offensive linemen, over 9.5. That was one that I laid $140 on. But the wide receivers and the offensive, or excuse me, the corners, like I feel like there's some correlation there where like, all right, what goes first, right? Because if there's not that many corners, because some think there's like five or, you know, maybe six that can go in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, do you, if your teams jump on those because you know this wide receiver is going to be available late and some don't go in the first. But I think this wide receiver class is deep enough. Vlad McConkey is a sneaky one. He was 3-1 to go in the first round. He's now like +150.
He was 3-1.
Yep.
And his position here at Circle was like 34.5.
Mm-hmm.
3-1 tells me pretty good chance then.
Chargers trade back in. Get him.
Up next, we'll discuss play-in props and players to look for in the opening round games of the NBA. Doug Crossing is going to join the program from Action Network with some best bets coming up here on VSiN.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.